excited about today. It's just not only in the service and the worship and the praise and being to have the opportunity to be with you, but it's what God's getting ready to do. Amen? And I know that the enemy hates what God is getting ready to do. He hates what God is doing because what God does is he transforms and changes lives. You know, it was kind of interesting this morning. I knew that there was a battle. When I came down this morning about 8 o'clock, one of the air conditioner units wasn't working. And so I was messing with that. Then I went and turned off the wrong circuit, which caused other air conditioner units not to work, okay? So for the first hour and a half today, I was traveling from the basement up to the sound booth up there, back and forth, up and down the stairs, trying to get these together. But finally, they all came on, amen, by the grace and mercy of God, amen, because I absolutely don't know anything about AC or heat pumps or any of that stuff, but praise God, they're all working, amen? Today, and what I was thinking about that when the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said that, just like he said to the Apostle Paul, he said his grace is sufficient. Amen? And if you look at that word sufficient, it means it is adequate or it's enough. Amen? His grace is sufficient. And I was thinking about that when I was reflecting on what was taking place this morning. And the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:5, he said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amen? So it's all about him. Now, today we're having communion, and we're having baptism today, and we're doing that unto the glory of the Lord. So the Lord told me to speak about that a little bit today. So look with me in Colossians chapter 2. The minute that you gave your heart to Jesus, you were baptized into the body of Christ according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. Now, baptism in water is an outward expression of something that's taken place on the inside, but it also has significance and importance. So we'll start with verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, and whom also you were circumcised with the circumcision, made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it on the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Today, the title of this morning's message is Christ is Sufficient. And there's three things that we're going to look at today. To bury, to become, and to behold. Amen? And this is just to break it down so that we have understanding of the word. Can we lift our word today and make a declaration today in the house? Repeat after me, say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for your word. And we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish something in each heart and each life of each and every one that's gathered here today. So, Lord, I ask you, Father, speak through this vessel. May the words that proceed out of my mouth be from you and not from me. And may the words that are spoken bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in this room. And when all is said and done, all glory, all honor, and all praise will be unto you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I gotta get in the groove here. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. This is a place where we gather to celebrate, man. I don't know about you, but God has been really good to me. And I get to witness and I see what God's doing in lives and how he's transforming and changing lives. And we get to witness them being baptized and immersed and coming up and, you know, the cutting away of the old man. But there's some things the Lord wants to get into everybody's heart in the room, you know. First point I want to make this morning is to bury. And what I mean about to bury is when you become a child of God in Christ Jesus, God wants you to bury your past. Amen? The devil's constantly trying to remind you of the past. Amen? And God wants to speak to your heart. So with that in mind, you can write this down or you can turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And we'll see what Father wants to say. And Romans 6, verse number 1, the Word of God says this: what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. We're getting ready to witness men and women being baptized, and this is a representation of a grave, okay? And they're going to be buried, the water representing the grave, and they're going to come up new. The old man is going to be passed away. God's going to cut away. He's going to do a circumcision done without hands on the heart. Sometimes we just couldn't get rid of that sinful nature. And God says in the baptism, he'll cut it away. Amen. But he wants you to know that your past is your past. He says he has removed your sins in Psalms 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed your transgressions, and he does not remember them any longer. Now, one of the things that God wants you to understand, if God doesn't remember them any longer, and the devil reminds you, or if it keeps coming back to you, you have to recognize who is bringing it to you. Is God trying to remind you of your past, or is the adversary? And when the adversary is reminding of your past as a creature in Christ Jesus, you tell him to get behind you. Amen? You take authority over him. It's kind of interesting. We're doing the two ordinances of baptism and communion. Communion. You don't have to be baptized to take communion. You have to put your trust in Jesus Christ. But Jesus also gives us a command to be baptized. Amen? So it isn't the baptism that gets us to heaven. It's our trust in Jesus. The baptism is just an outward expression of what God's done on the inside of our hearts and our lives. Amen? The Word of God also says to you and I, in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus made it simple for you and I. He says, any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. If the Lord is not remembering your past, you have to know who you are. Amen? And that's where he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, who am I? Look at your neighbor and say, who are you? Respond to them. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen? So, in other words, God wants us to remember to bury our past. Nice and simple, isn't it? Is that difficult? We could say it's difficult, but it isn't really easy because our flesh and our flesh man constantly wants to bring up the old stuff. Amen? But I don't know about you, but God's grace covered me. Amen? I was once lost, but now I was once blind, but now I see. I was lost, now I've been found. Amen?
Praise God.
Amen. Secondly, he wants us to remember that our past has been buried, to bury the past. And secondly, I have here to become aware of the present. To become aware of the present. How many know that God's a God of today? Amen? Amen. He's done things for me yesterday. He'll do things for me tomorrow. But he's the God of today. Amen? Amen. And God wants me to, you know, as I'm putting my past behind me, I have to recognize in my present who I am. So look with me in John chapter 1. Verse number 12. He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Who am I? Look at the one next to you and say, I'm in Christ Jesus. That makes me a child of God. Amen. I've got to recognize who I am. Because if I don't recognize my identity, the adversary will try to steal my identity from me. He'll try to give me my old identity and not accept me with my new. Amen. Amen. First thing we have to do to have authority over the devil is to recognize who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And if you have revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, then you can begin to speak to him with not guessing or not perhaps, but with a no-so mentality. Amen. I don't ask the devil what he wants to do. I tell him what God's word tells him to do. Amen. And it isn't my power or your power. It's his power. But what did he say? His grace is sufficient for me. Amen. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I'd rather glorify God in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. So he wants you to understand your new identity. I'm a child of God. Now, when Jesus gave us the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And daily bread is when Jesus was faced with Satan, we have the physical bread and we have the spiritual bread. And Matthew 4, when Jesus was faced with Satan, Satan tempted him after he came out of the wilderness, after he had been fasting for 40 days. But Jesus' response to Satan was this, for it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So our faith as children of God comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, so we're constantly being fed. We got to feed ourselves. Amen? I don't know about you, but in our household for the past few days, we changed our way of eating. And my body doesn't like that we changed our way of eating. Hello? My body had a habit of receiving things a certain way. And my body constantly is speaking to me about trying to get that old way back. Hello? Is there anybody besides me? And that's the same way with our spiritual man. Just as we have to feed our physical man, if we're not feeding our spiritual man, try not eating but once a week. See how that works for you. Hello? So if you think you're just going to come in and dine on Sunday, amen, and come to the supper table, amen, we're going to feed you. We're going to feed you food, and we're going to feed you some milk, and we're going to feed you some meat, amen, because we don't want to choke everybody in the house. But at the same time, it's a daily substance. We need to feed ourselves daily, amen, with the Word of God. I love the Word of God, amen. Every time I see the Word of God working, amen, and it's powerful, amen. So look with me in Jeremiah, or write it down. Jeremiah 15. Amen. Verse number 16. Everybody with me in the house? The Word of God says this. He says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." What happened when he ate them? "And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Why? "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Jeremiah said, not only, he says, the words were found. And he said, guess what I did? I ate it. You don't have to physically eat your Bible. But I ate it. What happens when you eat food in the natural? What do? You chew it up and you swallow it. In other words, if you don't chew it up and you try to swallow it, what happens? It chokes you. In the Word of God is the same way. He says, Jeremiah said, "I found your word and I ate it." In other words, I chewed it, I digested it, and then it had an effect on me. And all of a sudden, the word became. It became active. Just as Jesus said in John 1:14, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth." You know, that word became because it was digested and it was put to work. You know, the Apostle Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Amen. In other words, God is saying to us today, one, he's called us to bury our past. He calls us to be aware of our present. Amen. To become aware. And as I become aware of the present, then I am called to behold my future. Amen? In other words, I don't know if you understand, when I'm going through something, I know there's a glorious outcome. And when I keep my eyes on the glorious outcome, the trial and the test I'm going through isn't as large. Amen? Because I'm able to stand on the promises of God. And the Word of God and the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he kind of says it like this. It's kind of interesting. In verse number 18, he said, "But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord." The glass he's talking about is like a mirror. Amen? I'm holding up a mirror, and I'm watching in my own life. I'm watching the Lord transform and change my life. Amen? In other words, you should be able to witness and see what's taking place in your life. Because he says, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? So God wants you to understand, we did a Sunday one Sunday where we gave everybody sunglasses in the congregation. And the title of the message was, Your future is so bright, you need shades, okay? And we serve a bright and glorious God. And we have a wonderful and great future, amen? And it's glorious. And if you've ever witnessed and seen the glory of the Lord, I've seen the glory of the Lord manifest himself with people. You're going to see the glory of the Lord manifest himself in people and the baptism today. Amen. His glory is going to be witnessed, and you'll see it with your own eyes. Amen. God wants you to witness it. He wants you to realize and recognize that he's alive and well. Amen. We're not serving a dead God. We're serving a God that's alive and well, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or we even think. I don't know. My brain's really small compared to the one that fills the universe. Amen. 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 And his grace is even sufficient for this small one I've got. Amen. I'd like to learn to use a little bit more of it. Hallelujah. Anybody with me in the house? I guess that's just me. Hallelujah. But Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse number 18. He says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Amen. Let's get a little lighter in here. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God's called us what? To bury our past, become aware of our present, behold our future. Amen. So look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 8. The word of God says this, whom having not seen, ye love. And whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow him. Amen? Amen? I don't know about you, but we serve the King and the King of glory. Amen? Can we allow him to minister to our hearts today? Can we be open with readiness of mind, with an open mind? God can't minister to closed mind. Can we open our minds to be receptive to what the Lord wants to do in each and every one of us today? None of us have gotten to the place where we need to be yet. All of us are on a journey. Amen. Thank God for the journey. Thank God that we're journeying together. So in closing today, what the Lord is saying to us, fourthly, he wants us to be aware in closing. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll do that in community. Never mind. All right. Romans 13:12 says this. The word of God says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. In other words, the Father wants to strip something away to put something new on. And he said today that there's three things he wants to get in your heart and your life today. If you don't get anything else, get a hold of this. That if you're in Christ Jesus, he desires for you, one, to bury your past. You're not who you used to be. The problem so many times is when Christ comes in and makes us a new creation, we still try to act like the old man, because we think if we act like the old man that we're going to win our buddies and our friends. God says you're not that person any longer. You're my child. And I've called you and I've anointed you for such a time as now. My strength will help you. My strength will carry you. My strength will help you do everything that I called you to do. God says, one, to bear a pass. Two, that you become aware of who you are, of your present. And he is the God of today. God is active every day, and he's the God of this day. Amen? And God wants you to know, if you bared your past and you become a child of God, for you to behold, you have a great future. And I'm not talking only about in heaven. I'm talking about here on earth, for he says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, not for evil. Plans to give you hope and to give you an expected end. God wants you to understand that he never starts anything he doesn't finish. He's just ready to do something in your life. He wants you to surrender the thing that you've been holding back and release it to him and trust him to carry you through, because you cannot do it on your own strength and your own power. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your good and your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. God has a plan in every life in this room. And everybody God purposed to be here today. You're not here by accident. God called you from wherever you are. You may think that you came for this reason or that reason, but God put it in your heart to be here, because God has a plan in every heart and every life. Amen. God wants you to know how valuable and how important you are to him. Amen. Because he says to you today, if it was only for you, I would have still went to the cross and paid the price. Amen. That's how much the Father loves you. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that you sent your word to accomplish what you sent it to do in every heart and every life. Your word declares in Revelation chapter 3, behold, you stand at the door and knock. If any man hears your voice and opens the door, that you'll come in and you'll sup with him and he with you. First and foremost, in the closing of this service today, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus to be your Lord and